balance of nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
So I went to the ophthalmologist for my eye exam. He says, what are you doing? And I told him about balance of nature. He says, well, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Every year I go in and see my doctor. She says, whatever I'm doing, it's working.
Just had my physical, and the doctor says, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So
my primary doctor, she couldn't get over how much better I was doing. She said she'd never seen anything like it.
Here's a product from Balance of Nature that basically makes it so you get the nutrient equivalent of eating 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. For the patients that I have taking it, it's been phenomenal.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with one of the most important commercials that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 8 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, now you can help in a couple ways. First, get everyone you know to go to my new media platform, frankspeech.com. There you'll find all the footage from my cyber symposium and many other important broadcasts. Also, I am personally doing a new daily live show to get the truth out. It's at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Secondly, I'm offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only available on frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
Make sure and put the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. This will get you up to 66% savings at MyPillow.com. The code word KATE, my first name, K-A-T-E. Help support Mike, help support this show, and help support yourself in getting some amazing, amazing products. These are the best ones I've ever owned. Go to MyPillow.com, code word KATE.
Rise and shine, fragile Americans. There's a victimhood to be claimed and microscopic germs to fear. The KATE Daly Show starts now.
It is a controversial claim. A new study suggests the coronavirus doesn't just hijack our cells. In some cases, it can actually alter our DNA.
The researchers have found indirect evidence of this in a small number of tissues taken from patients, and their study caused a huge stir in the scientific community and a lot of questions. Could these DNA changes explain certain long hauler symptoms or autoimmune disease? Could these changes increase the risk of cancer?
It sounds scary. And maybe it is scary, but I think it's probably just a big nothing burger.
UC San Diego virologist Dr. Davey Smith says, hold on, we still don't have direct evidence of this happening in people. And even if it is, there's a good chance it's not a big deal. One thing is for certain, his study is prompting a whole lot more research. Derek Stahl, ABC 10 News.
Clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because otherwise, people are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway.
Two very scary mainstream news clips. Very scary. DNA change? That's a nothing burger. And of course, the carrot clip never gets old from CNN. Talking about how to incentivize you to do what they want you to do. For no other reason than they want you to do it. So welcome back to the last hour. Big thank you to Del Bigtree in the last hour. And I've got a wonderful guest in this hour, too. So What a great show today, huh? I mean, these guests are amazing, and I'm always so appreciative of it. Go to katedalyradio.com because we take this live show that you're listening to now, we put it on podcast, and we cut it up into short casts so you can do it by even subject within the show, and you can listen to the show and send it to anyone on your list, and I really appreciate you doing that. We're hitting 6 million right now, and it's just so huge and amazing, and I'm so appreciative. katedalyradio.com. We also have a amazing sponsors. So make sure you go to those sponsors on the bottom of the page and take advantage of their offers, because I would not put them on my sponsor page unless I took the product myself and unless I loved it so much I had to tell you about it. So they have some terrific offers for you, and these are products I believe in. Please go down to the bottom of katedalyradio.com and check those out. I have a wonderful guest in this hour because we're going to be talking about something that everybody needs to be very, very aware of, as we've been warning since February 2020, as we've moved this course and as they already had the shot already being made before they even named COVID-19. I don't know if people realize that. That we were worried about what would happen with reproduction and having children and all of these different things as part of this shot that they were going to give, this brand new shot that really wasn't a vaccine. So we're going to be talking with Dr. Jancy Lindsay, a PhD, a molecular biologist and toxicologist and director of toxicology and molecular biology for toxicology support services. And she has been all over the place talking. She's had some great conversations with Dr. Mercola, who's a friend of the show, and so many different people. And also, she also gave a 3-minute public comment to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And she's been all over the place speaking out. I really appreciate her efforts. Can't wait to hear what she has to say. But we'll just call you Dr. Jancy on the show. How about that? Is that good?
Thank you. That's perfect.
Ah, good. So glad to have you. And really, truly, because you're gonna open up a conversation that we really haven't focused on the show, as far as having a doctor just discuss this part of it, which is really scary. It's this really scary part. Where should we start, Dr. Jancy, on how to describe what's going on with this and why your alarm bells were going off when you saw this shot?
Well, I usually introduce my background in this field first. In the 1990s, I worked at Baylor College of Medicine, and mm-hmm. I worked in a reproductive biology lab. And we were developing an immunocontraceptive vaccine. It was designed to be a temporary vaccine, and it would have prevented the sperm from being able to fertilize the egg by blocking the egg. And it would have been very attractive because most immunocontraceptives allow for fertilization, but they prevent implantation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they help farther down the road.
So you actually have conception. Mm. This would not have allowed conception, and the idea was for it to be temporary. It was the zona pellucida vaccine. And unfortunately, even though we made great efforts for it not to cross-react with any endogenous proteins, it ended up causing autoimmune ovarian destruction in our animal models.
Ooh, okay.
Right. It caused sterility. And that's how it is used now. It is used as a sterilizing contraceptive vaccine.
Oh, my. Wow.
So that's my background
in the
world of contraceptive vaccines. And that autoimmune reaction came about because there was something in the zona pellucida protein region that we chose that we didn't think was expressed in the ovary at that stage, but which was either conformationally or by sequence. So sometimes it's enough if it just looks the same shape,
right?
Which often has the same amino acids to give it that shape and charge. So in this case, we had Drs. Woodard and Yeadon and Dr. Roxana Bruno from South America warning early on, as well as Dr. Bill Gallagher, that we could have a cross-reaction to the syncytin proteins if we immunized with the spike region of SARS-CoV-2.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because there is a good deal of conformational similarity, as well as a hexapeptide region within both SYN1 and SYN2 that are similar to the spike protein. And I brought that up because I believe that those, you know, these researchers know what they're talking about. I'm a molecular biologist myself. I know that even when you plan and do your in silico analysis and blasting, that you can have unexpected results. And I knew that the animal species that they chose for their reproductive studies was not the appropriate animal species. And why is that? Roxana Bruno brought up in her paper, she has an excellent paper on why the COVID vaccines might impact fertility. And I can provide that to your show.
Yes, please.
So she said, listen, there's multiple mechanisms by which this can be harmful, but I really feel that if we immunize with these, that we're going to get a cross reaction. And and you can't test with mice. And the reason why you can't test with mice or other rodents is because they don't have human-like syncytin proteins. It's very different.
Okay.
So you have to use the right animal model. In our animal models in the lab, and I've done lots of laboratory experiments, it definitely makes a difference what animal model you use. We don't all share the same enzymes. We obviously don't all share the same genes. We don't share the same proteins. And you can't do a study for humans and syncytin in a mouse.
What would you do it in? What would be the...
You would do it in an old world primate, like a macaque.
Okay. Interesting.
And they haven't done that. And it's very expensive to do those studies. Not only is it very expensive to do the studies, but the animals themselves are difficult to get that have not already had other studies done to them.
Wow. Well, money seems to be flowing everywhere. So I would, you know, sounds like they just might not want to do studies on that because then...
Well, they've decided to use us instead.
Yeah,
that's
you're exactly right.
Where we are.
Yeah.
They're using us instead as the lab rats. And we know that there, in fact, was a cross reaction. There's been one study that was done in Singapore, and all 15 of the women that were immunized with the Pfizer vaccine ended up developing autoantibodies to their own syncytin-1 proteins.
Oh, wow.
Syncytin-1 is a protein that's expressed in the placenta. If you knock it out, you get the embryo dies. It cannot, the mother cannot sustain the pregnancy. Syncytin-2 is very closely related to syncytin-1 in sequence and conformation. And if you knock that out, then you don't get fertilization of the egg.
Jeez. Wow.
So anything that can modulate, and really Dr. Bruno does an excellent job in her review, anything that can modulate the level of these proteins or silence them can impact reproduction and a successful pregnancy.
Wow. I
so
think people are going to be surprised.
After that first paper, we got another paper that came along just a little bit ago that said, oh, no, we tested some sera of 67 women, and they did not cross-react with the syncytin-1 protein. However, there weren't any figures. They didn't describe which antibodies they used.
Right.
No
details.
Yeah, it was largely missing details. So here we have one paper where all of the women developed antibodies to the protein, and then another paper comes out a little while later saying, oh, no, none of the women did.
Boy, that's... suspicious.
It is a little suspicious. So I'm still looking for a laboratory in which we can conduct these syncytin-1 and syncytin-2 experiments. And I'm no longer in the lab, but I sure would love it if we could find a laboratory that we could do these experiments. And they're very, very easy to do.
Yes. And you know, I have a question for you too. I know we have about a minute until the break, so we might have to give a short answer, maybe a longer answer. But the spike proteins that seem to be congregating in our organs, especially ovaries, maybe not the testes so much as the ovaries. This are people realizing this? Is this common knowledge? Are people just saying, "Oh, that doesn't mean anything," you know? What does that mean to you?
I don't
think
they know about that Pfizer biodistribution study, the Japanese biodistribution study is what you're talking about. And, Kate, you know, they also probably don't know about the Moderna, submission to the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, where under the section of pharmacokinetics, they describe that the spike protein does go to the testes. Now, they didn't use any female animals.
Right.
They didn't use any female rodents. So
that's interesting.
You think after you get the spike going to the testes in the male rats that the logical conclusion is to just use a few more animals and do the one-day study it would take to see if it goes to the ovaries as well, right?
Yeah, they didn't want the evidence. They didn't want the evidence of that.
But apparently they didn't do that.
Okay. We're gonna come right back. More with Dr. Jancy when we come back, all about pregnancy and reproductive, the situation with reproductive, what happens to us with these shots. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. Hey, everyone. There is a spray, a zeolite spray, on the homepage of katedalyradio.com. Right now, you can grab this spray for only $5. It's a huge, big deal because they don't usually give it away for this, but they want you to try it. And this is an effective cellular cleanse. And it has a unique activated hydrated zeolite cellular level cleanse. All you do is spray it in your mouth. You can't taste it. And each day, and you'll get rid of the toxins in your body. You'll get rid of all those things like mercury and lead and arsenic and all the things that come through our food and environment and everything else. This is an advanced cellular cleanse. And my daughters actually turned me on to this. They were giving it to their kids too, and the kids were feeling better. Skin things were clearing up. All kinds of things were happening. People even give this for autism and having amazing results. Has no taste and it's 100% natural. You'll love this product. It's called Pure Body from Touchstone. Even Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, huge proponent of this spray as well. So go get it. Thanks, you guys.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Maybe the bad thing. Maybe the bad thing. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. What a show today, huh? Make sure you get over to the sponsors. Clean Start, amazing sponsor, and it is a hand sanitizer that actually doubles as wound care, and it's not sticky, and it actually acts like a moisturizer. It's a brand new product out there. Nobody has this, and I promise you, if you have food storage, you do not have this product on your shelf, but you need it. It's concentrated, so you can make the bottles. You can make so many bottles out of this, and you can snag it for such a great price right now, like a quarter of what it costs. And please do Clean Start. Hit that link at the bottom of Kate Daly Radio. And put in Kate as the code. You've got to put in a code to get the price. But put in Kate, K-A-T-E. And then also Dr. Zelenko was on the show a couple times, and his Z-Stack, which is a combination of quercetin and vitamin D and C and zinc, is right there. And make sure you order up on that as well, because it's a great supplement, and it's all in one capsule. And you take one of those a day, and it's a fantastic one. So my guest is Dr. Jancy, and I'm so glad that she's here, Dr. Jancy Lindsay. She's going to be, if you're in the state of Utah, she's going to be speaking tonight up north, and she's going to be speaking tomorrow night before Del Big Tree down here where I am in the southern part of Utah. And so please, you've got to go to, if you're local, go to the Dixie Center and make sure you hear both of these great speakers tomorrow night down here. But she's also speaking up north as well. And let me just tell you, she is fantastic. I love the whistleblowers. I love the doctors, because it gives me some faith in doctors. Haven't had a lot of faith in doctors, especially going through the whole hospital experience, when I realized what I realized. And Dr. Jancy gives me more hope, because I did have to rely on good doctors to get me through the situation with my husband. Just like right now, you have doctors that will tell you the truth, and they risk everything to do that. And so keep that in mind. And also, this evidence is all out there. We've got to realize it, read it, and digest it, because what she's talking about is the more reproductive side of things that everybody's been a little worried about since this shot came out. Why? The FDA, when they first came out, the FDA hands people a brochure when they get the vaccination, right? It's not really a vaccination, it's a gene therapy shot. When they hand people this shot, they give people this brochure for Pfizer and Moderna. And at the bottom, it says seven different reasons why you shouldn't take the shot, like allergies or certain things like this. One of the seven things is if you're planning on having a family or planning to get pregnant. Why did that not raise the alarm bells for everybody on this planet? And so what did you think about that when that came out, Dr. Jancy?
Well, Kate, I never thought that they would even think about using these in pregnant women. And I didn't also think that they would use them in children.
Right.
I guess I was naive to think they wouldn't use them in children since they have them in the studies. But all of this is such a sham.
Yeah.
In terms of necessity, right? Because here you have this virus that's got this 99.997% survival rate or greater, and you're throwing everything in the world at it but the things that work.
You're right.
It's easily treated with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and some corticosteroids and bronchodilators, yet we're spending billions on vaccines that don't work and are dangerous.
Amen.
Technology. You're talking about the phenomenon of shedding, the gene product shedding. This is nothing new in gene therapy. And even in other vaccine technologies, we can have shedding of the vaccine. And we've seen that with some of the vaccines that were attenuated or chemically treated in order to kill the virus. And then when they were injected, some of them were not completely killed, and they reverted back to their viral state.
Mm-hmm.
And then people passed them on. In this case, when you are, and they talk about it in the cancer treating applications of these gene therapies for right to try that these companies have developed, that they can shed the product of what they are making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different here. If you receive a gene therapy and your cells are hijacked to make the protein that the gene therapy says to make, you can make that protein and it can be shed. Particularly, these can be shed because they're being made by almost every cell in your body.
Right.
They can go to the brain, they can go to the skin, they can go to your bone marrow, they're in your blood, they're in your ovaries, they're in your pituitary, they're in your spleen, they're in your liver, they're in your kidneys, they're everywhere.
I'm so stunned that people just glossed over that. I thought that was a pretty big warning not to take the shot. But so people are probably sitting in their cars listening to this right now or at home, and they're saying, are people going to have a very, very hard time getting pregnant and staying pregnant? And what would you say to that after this shot or series of shots?
I would say that there is some evidence to support that.
Yep.
We've seen an increase. You know, somebody contacted me early on from an in vitro fertility clinic. She heard my little 3-minute piece to the CDC where I warned that we could have fertility problems, reproductive problems. And she let me know that they were seeing some results of the vaccines and some impairments at their clinic.
Jeez.
She said that previously healthy donors that had donated great sperm and eggs that resulted in viable embryos that were successfully transferred, all of a sudden the embryos were arresting in development at day 5.
Wow,
and
really?
That's about the time when syncytin expression would be turned on in these embryos.
Oh,
so,
more
recently, she's come out and she started tracking the pregnancy losses in the clinic, and their miscarriage rate has gone up greatly at the clinic.
Jeez.
I want to get the exact numbers right. I have to go to my talk here. I don't want to mix numbers, as it's easy to do.
I just can't believe after only 2 months, you know, and we were talking on the break, they go up to 15 years usually when they're testing something out that they would give, you know, to everybody like this.
Especially for a new technology.
Technology. And right now we're sitting on something that was in the hopper for 2 months with, I think, a lot of testing selectively not done, or maybe the results not, you know, selectively kept. And we're looking at a situation where people were jumping in with both feet, trusting the government and Pfizer, who's been convicted by our government for fraud and the biggest case ever. And we're just happy-go-lucky this is going to save the world. It's so amazing to me because there wasn't any, we're the long-term study. We're not going to know what's going on until the end of the decade with this. And
what's really egregious to me is the New England Journal of Medicine editor who's also on the ACIP or on the FDA committee, who said that we're not going to know how safe these gene therapies are in our children until we use them.
Right. You're right.
It is not acceptable to experiment on children. Whatever parent is putting their kids forth for this, kids are not at risk for getting very sick or dying from COVID unless they have severe other comorbidities like leukemia or kidney disease, kidney failure, you know, certain heart conditions. In that case, they shouldn't be receiving an experimental vaccine or experimental anything.
Right.
In that case, they should be treated with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and other things that we know are safe and effective because we've used them for decades.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. So true.
We don't need to use anything experimental on our children, and especially in our vulnerable loved ones. Some people keep saying, oh, well, it's okay to use these in our elder people because they're the ones that are most vulnerable to this infection. No, these shots have killed more older people than any other group. It's not acceptable to use them in anybody. They're dangerous,
amen.
And they need to be recalled just like we did for dengue, RSV, mm-hmm. and some of the polio shots. That's it.
Yes.
They don't need to be used in anybody.
And women are even being a little deceptive with dating and stuff and saying, I didn't get the shot, because people are generally worried about it and for good reason. But it's interesting, the deception too going on out there.
I am so glad that people are waking up and questioning, you know, is this safe? Do I really want to be with someone who has had this vaccine and risk not being able to have my own children someday? It's not worth a vaccine that doesn't work.
Yep.
It's not worth a vaccine for something that doesn't kill you. People are dying from COVID because they're not being treated. It's not because the disease is so deadly. It's like having bacterial pneumonia and being ravaged with bacterial pneumonia and having the antibiotics sitting right next to you, but Pfizer and the FDA and the CDC are holding them back saying, no, I'm sorry, they're out of patent. We're not going to make any money on this, so you can't have them.
Jeez. Oh, I so
agree
with you.
That's what it is. And we know that these other treatments work because I work with doctors every day that have treated thousands of patients, hundreds of patients, and they've used these medicines and they haven't lost a single patient.
Yep.
So tell me how they can be so successful in their practice with early treatment, mm-hmm. and yet you have hospital mortality rates up in the, you know, 50% range.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then the government comes out and says, oh, it's just mild symptoms from getting the shot. And here on the FDA document right here that they have to give you, it says serious adverse effects are defined as death, a life-threatening adverse event, inpatient hospitalization or prolongation of existing hospitalization, a persistent or significant incapacity. Persistent or significant incapacity, a substantial disruption of the ability to conduct normal life. That's not fatigue and a headache and soreness at the injection site. I'm sorry. We're being so deceived because people are not, well, the people need to take accountability because they're not reading these things and they can find them. These are easy to find. But we just take their word for it. And so it's amazing to me because we've got reproduction in the mix now. And what does our population look like in 20 years with all of these people taking these shots? It's horrific.
Exactly, Kate. And it's not only in this generation. Some people are saying, no, my friend just had a baby and she was vaccinated. The worry is not just in this generation. It's also for the next generation. I was just reading an article on the plane that was an excellent coverage, and I was trying to bring it back up on my phone. I didn't have a chance between landing and getting on your show.
It's okay. It's all right.
To reboot my phone to get a signal, so I couldn't bring the paper back up,
mm-hmm.
but I'll send it to you as well.
Okay.
We often forget to touch on adenovirus, the J&J vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we cover all the mRNA vaccines. We forget to touch on that. The adenovirus can cause problems on its own. We don't know whether this will be generationally passed on to where it doesn't hurt this generation,
right.
but maybe into the next generation. They're all sterile.
Wow.
There's so much to think about. We just have to stop right now. We're killing our children. Another 11-year-old died today in Long Island.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be giving this to anybody.
And
we're
yet
at 22,000 deaths.
Oh, I know. And that's just a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think too. And that's been proven. And also, just the fact that we are, you know, it's funny that we don't want one death from COVID, yet we're okay with many deaths to save people from COVID. It makes no sense whatsoever. And look at the toll. When they did the swine flu, 50 deaths shut it down. And now we're looking in the tens of thousands, and nobody's batting an eye because we're on a crusade to save people from the sniffles. I'm having a tough time with that, but we're going to come right back. Can you spend a few more minutes with me?
Sure, absolutely.
Would that be okay? We're going to come right back after this break and talk some more about this, because I know that people want to know, and they've had these questions for good reason. Their gut is telling them something is off, something is wrong about these shots, and what is it going to do to our future population of people and getting pregnant? And it says on the FDA form, if you're planning to have a family, do not take the shot. It's one of the 7 reasons. We'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. On a Friday, no less, and what a show, right? You all been wondering, you know, what is the state of our youth going to look like when they go to get married and try to have a family after they're having this needle shoved in their arms all these different times? And let me just tell you, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good because the evidence is pointing in a different direction, that they're going to have a lot of issues and problems trying to get pregnant. And I know this has been on a lot of people's minds, and it should be, because that little voice inside of you is saying something is off and something is wrong. I just love this gal, Dr. Jancy Lindsay. Let me just tell you, I'm so excited. She's coming to my town to speak, and you got to get her in your town too, because she'll concentrate and focus on the reproductive side of this and how scary this is. She is a toxicologist, and let me just tell you, she has a lot of information, and I just love her. So, you know, as far as we're talking about reproduction, if you're just joining the program, are people going to have a hard time? Are people going to have a hard time getting pregnant? That's the baseline. That's what everybody wants to know. Once they've messed up their cells and their immune system and everything else, because you were talking about the reactive, wasn't it? You used a term, how our body reacts to the shot. Could have some effects on reproduction, correct?
Right. So if you have an autoantibody reaction, you're making antibodies against the spike protein, but you end up, I mean, there's a lot of different ways this can happen. We
right.
know the spike protein goes to the, and the lipid goes to the ovaries. So now you're having cells in the ovaries produce the spike protein that you're asking your body to attack. Well, what if your body attacks your ovaries and destroys them? That's one way to get rid of your reproductive.
Because of that cross reactivity, right? That's what you...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But not only... And it doesn't just have to be cross reactivity to the syncytins, okay? That's what I was talking about first. It could be the normal antibody reaction to whatever cells are expressing the spike protein.
So let me ask you this question. In pregnancy, for some reason, when we have tumors, our body understands it's a tumor. But with pregnancy, it doesn't attack it as a foreign invader. So,
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay. Yeah. Let's discuss that. So would this be possibly turning it into a situation where now we've got a foreign invader in the body, as even though it's a pregnancy where our body would never have reacted this way in the past?
Well, we definitely can have some problems with T-cell modulation. And coincidentally enough, guess what syncytin 2's role is? Syncytin 2, its role is to keep the mother from attacking the fetus.
Oh.
It has to do with immune tolerance. It modulates T-cell function and acts as an immunosuppressant.
Okay.
What are we seeing in these people that have been vaccinated? We're seeing their immune systems tank. We're seeing lymphocytopenias, which are they're losing their T-cells. We're seeing that they're losing their thymus and their spleen in the animal studies.
So the body goes into this hyper autoimmune, and I don't think people realize before, your body for some reason, and I think it's a God thing, was designed to not attack the pregnancy as a foreign invader like they would something else. So what you're saying is the reaction by the immune system maybe could put it into that hyper auto auto drive where it be almost becomes like the scary attack on your own body, possibly something to like that. Is that right?
Well, it's that. I mean, that's what we're asking our body to do, is to attack
right.
the spike protein. If the spike protein is being expressed by our placental cells,
mm-hmm.
or by our right. uterine cells, because that's where it went, or by our ovaries, or by our testes, and we're asking our body to attack that protein, then that's one way that we can have a reproductive poor outcome. Another way is that it thinks that the syncytin proteins are spike proteins, and it goes and attacks all the syncytin proteins. Now they're not there anymore to sustain a successful pregnancy.
Wow.
Now they're not there anymore to allow for fertilization.
So you could look at them like the armed guards, and we're ridding ourselves of those armed guards that keep that pregnancy there and safe and growing.
Well, that's what the T cells do, and they also function that way in cancer. So this
wow.
is why we think we're getting so many cancers. We're taking our T cells out. We all of us have lots of cancer clones. They hang around in our body, but they're kept in protected niches by T cells. T cells are the guards of the jail cells for the cancer cells. And when we take those T cells away, then your cancer clones expand. That's why when you get older, or when your pet gets older, they start to develop tumors, because
right.
we go into what's called immunosenescence, where our T cells become smaller, our thymus involutes, and we don't have as many T cells. We go through a T cell shift. And that's what's happening with these shots. They are causing an early immunosenescence, like you're turning 80, but you're young.
Jeez.
That's what they're doing to the immune system.
And they want us, our kids, to get these wonderful shots. How nice. Even if you just look at the crowd trying to push it, you know, once my husband looked over at me and he said, because he always plays devil's advocate, and he goes, how do you know you're on the right side of this? And I said, look who's trying to give a shot to you. Look who's trying to push it. Look who invented it. And these people really don't like a lot of people on the planet. And Bill Gates and his wife a couple of years ago on video said, the main problem we have going forward is we sit around and think about the fact that we have too many people on this planet. And if we do a good job with vaccines, we won't have as many people on this planet. We'll be able to reduce the population. And he went as far as to say that if people are living well, they'll be convinced not to have babies. But that's not it. If they do a good enough job with these, maybe they could disrupt this system of ours so much so that we couldn't sustain procreating. And can you even imagine what this population looks like and what our youth are going to have to go through if they don't realize what they're doing to their bodies and then they're having these problems? Because we wouldn't know maybe for a few years, as people then would be trying to have families down the road, right? I mean, I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine running and getting this thing. Have you been shocked from the beginning that people were just rushing in for themselves and their whole families to get this? Are you there? Oh, okay. I think she... Are you there, Jancy? Dr. Jancy?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, you know what? It happens all the time on my show. Whenever we get to interesting information, it happens. I apologize. I was just talking about the fact that these people that we're dealing with are avowed depopulationists. They don't like having a lot of people on the planet. In fact, Bill Gates thinks of it as the biggest threat. Not anything else. No, that's the biggest threat, is having too many people. And so these are the same people that have are the ones that invented this and pushing this. And so you always have to look at the source of who's behind this.
Absolutely.
You know, these aren't people that care about having more babies. I'll tell you that much. And so what will happen? Say, what if somebody got one shot versus many shots? Is there a difference in the role that will play in reproductivity?
You know, that's a good question. What we're seeing right now is that only a few lots of the shots are responsible for 90 to 100% of the adverse reactions and deaths.
You're right on that. There's certain lots that are worse.
It's kind of like Russian roulette. Right?
Yeah.
Did you get a bad lot, or did you get I don't even want to say good lot, because I don't think any of them are good.
Right.
But we know that we're seeing huge increases in miscarriage. You can go on to www.bears.com, openbears.com, and they have a searchable database. They have reproductive health-related reports on there,
mm-hmm.
Nice graphs that you can look at and visually see the huge increase in miscarriages. We're up to 3,435
right.
And theirs is estimated to hold less than 1%. A Harvard study found that it was estimated to hold less than 1% in 2007 of all the adverse reaction and death.
Well, it's just huge.
I believe it's even less than that now because there's 11 other databases that are being reported into. There was only one database when Harvard did that study.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And you also
I mean, whereas,
go ahead.
Excuse me, the vaginal and uterine hemorrhage, do you know, I mean, to report that into VAERS,
yeah,
you know, that's not something that you're doing every day, right?
Right. That is true.
7,629 vaginal and uterine hemorrhages reported for these
vaccines. Jeez.
And testicular pain and swelling, 1,370 cases.
Hmm.
Erectile dysfunction, 484.
Wow. And let people know about one day longer on a period, and they were trying to tell these girls that was just fine.
Yes, and it was normal. So menstrual disorders, get this on menstrual disorders. How many women would actually go to their doctor and really talk to them if it wasn't their gynecologist about their menstrual problems? Hello?
There you go. Oh, okay, we're back. Bam,
hello?
We've had some problems today. Holy cow. Hi, NSA. Anyway, so tell us about that report.
20,162 menstrual disorders have been reported into the VAERS system. And they're trying to tell you that menstrual disorders have nothing to do with fertility and reproduction. I have read articles from obstetricians and gynecologists that say that we should not be worried about the menstrual disorders because they really don't have anything to do with reproduction or fertility.
What?
This is akin to the AMA a few months ago saying that it wasn't important to put gender on a birth certificate anymore.
Oh my
These
God.
Entities have been captured. They have been bought out by pharma. It is absolutely clear that has gone on.
I don't even know what to say to that. If they're actually saying that is insane, and
yes,
they're
actually saying that. Look up the articles.
And they're having, and if you have a period one more day than you're usually having, it's just totally fine. Don't even worry about it. No big deal.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. This is insane, of course, and we just have to take control of our own health. We cannot trust our medical associations. We cannot trust the pharmaceutical industry. We cannot trust our regulatory and safety agencies anymore. They have proven that they do not have our health and safety.
They're on the paycheck now. So once they're on the paycheck,
well, it's not only a paycheck, but frankly, an agenda.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
We have to protect ourselves. Don't be stupid. Don't be what they think you are.
Right, right. You know what? I'm with you. And it just, I think people out there listening right now, I hope you're shaking your head. And it's not like they're not warning. There's been some clear warnings all along. And if people, especially older women that are postmenopausal that started bleeding too, there have been so many doctors actually alarmed by this.
I've got many reports from them. Yes, they email me. That's right.
Please.
And what about the stillbirths in Vancouver? Do you know what they did to Dr. Nagas? Have you talked about what they did to Dr. Nagas?
I'm not sure. We cover so much every day. Remind me.
So Dr. Daniel Nagas was one of the doctors who was beloved by his patients, absolutely beloved.
Mm-hmm.
He became very worried because he was getting reports from doulas that stillbirth, that they were delivering increased numbers of stillbirth babies. Normally there's only 5 to 6 stillbirths a year, he says,
right,
in the area. Well, at Lionsgate Hospital, over a 2-day period in September, there were 13 stillbirths delivered over a 24-hour period. And he found that there were 86 stillbirths in a 6-month period when normally there's only 5 to 6 in a year.
Oh.
So he came out and started talking about it. They threw him in a psych ward.
Wow.
That's what they do in China. That's what they do in Russia. They put you in an insane asylum and lock you up and drug you up to punish you for speaking out.
I just don't know what to say.
And VAERS has 91 stillbirths reported as of December 24th, 2021.
I don't know how much more proof we need that we need to stop and just stop the madness. I don't know what to tell people anymore. I feel like I say the same thing every day, but I'm telling you, as the evidence floats in and as people like yourself are speaking out, I'm so appreciative to you for that, because this one side has so much evidence that's stacked upon stacked upon stacked. The other side just says, believe me, be scared and go do what we want, and we're going to force you if you don't.
That's right. They don't have any data.
Nope.
It's propaganda. They use it in China all the time. They use it in other countries like Korea. This is propaganda. Don't listen to it. This is a very treatable disease. We can show you the data. Go to C19Early.com. It's a wonderful site.
It what is it again?
All of the different drugs, C19Early.com.
Okay, it keeps beeping. Say it one more time. Sorry.
C19, the letter C, and then 19Early.com.
.com, okay.
It shows you all the different drugs that have been used to try to treat SARS-CoV-2. We've got, at this point, 73 studies for ivermectin from 691 scientists with 56,774 patients.
Wow.
With HCQ, we have 303 studies.
Thank
you. With 415,000.
Our clock's going to run out. But thank you, Dr. Jancy Lindsay. Really appreciate you, toxicologist. Thank you for weighing in.
Thanks, Kate.
Really appreciate you. I can't wait to meet her tomorrow night. And, of course, be faithful, be fearless. We'll see you back here on Monday. But if you're local to me, she's speaking locally here. You can go to yourhealthfreedomdixie.com and get the information. But speaking here tomorrow night. Anyways, you guys, have a great weekend.